There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. And today we actually have our amazing executive assistant with us, and we're going to be interviewing her. She has definitely made my job easier. I'm sure yours as well.
She made my job easier, which is in essence made yours easier.
Yes. Yeah. So several years ago, we hired our first executive assistant, and going back, thinking about it, I'm like, hey, I don't, Sean's like, we need an executive assistant. I'm like, well, no, I don't. As business owners, we can do everything ourselves. I can do it better. I can do it faster, right? And I don't want people in my stuff. That's how I looked at it. And so we took the leap and said, and Sean, I think you were the same, right? Tell us a little bit about what you were going through at the time.
I was the one that didn't let anything go. And I think I tried to control way too much at the beginning. So, but just before we go too far, Holly West, and you didn't mention her name.
Oh, sorry. Holly West.
Yeah. So is our, So Holly's been with us how long now?
Just over a year. I had my year mark 1st of November.
Happy anniversary.
Yes.
If I didn't say it.
That, you did.
Because she's my executive, so you're supposed to tell yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or send yourself a gift.
I got coffee. I got Starbucks. We're good.
But yeah, no, so I had a, hard time just letting, as I get older, I'm finding out that I'm really controlling. And so I like to control everything, conversations, tasks or whatever, it doesn't matter. I want to control it, or it's got to be a certain narrative. And so I'm finding out that I got to let all that go. And
it wasn't easy at the beginning, right? Because I think when we started, it's like, okay, like, let go of the emails. All right, you did that. Now, what else can you let go? Like, little by little, we had to peel things off of you to so you're not freaking out at the end of the day.
I thought the best demonstration or illustration of that was when you guys did the mop video.
Yes.
Yeah. For the maximizing operation.
And tell us, I mean, Holly was right in there. She actually did that video. They came up with a theme. So talk about that and how that all came evolved.
So Sean's not lying when he says he likes to control things. I remember when I first was interviewing for the position, I had asked if he had had an executive assistant before, because in my experience, it's good to know like the level of experience your employer has. Mm-hmm. In that space, mm-hmm. because it tells you how to approach it. And so I had asked you that question, and you did have somebody previously, but the roles changed so much, and I think your first assistant prior to me was maybe doing some slightly different things, but the mop it up video, the maximize
operational performance
was where each team had put together a video on how to, you know, just do exactly that, maximize whatever our roles are. And I work on the TTK side more specifically, and the new construction side, and our construction manager and I put together a video about keeping Sean out of it sometimes, because he will, how do I say it nicely? I'm on the spot here.
I want to be honest.
Yeah,
clog the funnel.
Yeah, he'll give expectations, and Bob and I, who's the construction manager, will look at each other and go, did he really say that date for that completion of a house? And we're just like, okay, Sean, back it up a little. So
that's awesome. But yeah, that was a good illustration of just sometimes, I'm my own worst enemy, I think, or hold myself back. So, but explain, Joni, for the listeners, what, just so before we get too far, like, what's an executive assistant? What's their role?
So, I mean, the executive assistant can do everything from personal stuff for Sean and I, you know, to booking our calendars, our emails, managing our emails and our calendars. I mean, specifically, she does everything for you. I don't know what she doesn't do.
So, I mean, and can it be a remote person, do you think? Can you, do you feel like it can be somebody like a virtual assistant?
Yeah, I think out of the country. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, because I mean, they're, I mean, for the most part, everything is, you know, electronic. So yeah, I think so.
Do you feel that?
I think, it depends on what you're looking for or what somebody is looking for, an assistant. If it is going to cross into those personal tasks, then I think obviously that wouldn't be the best choice. But if somebody's just starting out and they're doing part-time type of stuff and the first things you're handing off are those electronic managing calendars and emails, that's very easy to do remotely.
I agree. Good. I mean, if you, yeah, it'd be tough if you, your executive assistant like helped you with errands or, you know, stuff that, or getting your lunches or, you know, stuff like that, that might be much harder. I guess they could order it electronically and have it delivered.
DoorDash.
Hey, DoorDash or shipped. I mean, I order my groceries online and they get shipped to my door. Yeah. So why not?
But yeah, I think, and then, you know, so to go back to what an executive assistant is, I think it is somebody that, you know, manages. So people know in case they're wondering what it is or wondering, are they ready for one or should they get one? I think at all levels, if you can afford it, I think it, and even if you're right at that, I think once you do it and you realize the amount of time you get back, which then you can translate into putting into either making more money to justify that person or, you know, sometimes it's not even making more money. It's just about getting life time back for and more balance or more
balance. And I think that you hit it there, the more balance. And when I first did this, I kind of did a time study, like what do I do from 8:30 to 5:30? Like what are the list of things that I do that I can delegate to somebody else, right? And I was noticing like probably 95% of my list during the day, but the list during the day was something that somebody else could handle, my executive assistant could handle. And now I had time to do what I was best at, which is out there connecting with people, you know, love dealing with people in general, and I'm not good at the tasks. Holly is.
Yeah, I mean, it. I think at the beginning it was, sometimes it's just delegating so that you have time to do what your genius is or your best.
Your genius, yeah.
Yeah, what you're best at doing, because I think that's where it really helps you, because you get in the zone and you get to do more of what you love to do and more. And it's not to say that the stuff we're delegating is stuff that, you know, some the items that aren't for one person is a genius or a gift for other people. I know you're very gifted at
processes and procedures. I'm like, if I need a process, I know that Holly can knock it out way quicker than I could ever and way better than I could ever.
Yeah. So I mean, and for me, when I did that analogy or analysis of how much time and where I spent all my time, I was like 6 hours a day in email, and I was like, wow.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
And so, I mean, just that getting out a lot of that, you know, what else? I mean, answering phones, talking to clients, taking all of that. And you know, I really don't, and we've talked about this. I don't really care to, I do it, but, you know, talk to people and interact. And I'm very behind the scenes. And so getting a lot of that stuff off my plate, I can focus on bigger level things for our business. I can focus on maybe just working with certain clients, maybe raising money, but all those things that need to be done that I don't have usually time to get to.
Right,
Finding us lots on the TTK side.
Yes. Exactly.
That's where you spend your time.
More time, right? We just closed. I just got the closing documents for another one. So.
Yay! So Holly, like, tell us how it is working for Sean and I. Like, I mean, what's the dynamics there? You know, because we office obviously right next to each other.
This is a free zone. So
And I'm on the record, so I'm not gonna take that to the bank. All joking aside. No, you guys are actually really unique to work with in the fact that I've never worked with a husband-wife team before, so that's a first for me. But it's actually been really great. You guys are, I mean, from the early stories, from your early podcast, like, you guys have a great story, and so it makes it really easy to work for you guys from a personality standpoint. It'd be really hard to work for somebody that I didn't connect with or feel like I could really get behind, because I think that's really important for an EA, an executive assistant, is you have to really believe in the people that you're working for, or it's going to show in your work.
Right.
Do you feel you can get to that level with in the interview process, do you feel like? Or do you think you kind of got to test it?
I think the basis of it for it is there. Yeah. I think, you know, you get a gut feeling, you have intuition. Yeah. And when you're in the interview process, yeah, I mean, I definitely connected with you guys and saw that you guys were not afraid to delegate. You were able to admit, I mean, that was one of the things that stood out the most is I was a little leery that you'd only had one executive assistant prior to me. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of, I knew you were kind of still new in that space. So I was like, okay, it's going to be a work in progress and it's going to shift and change. But the fact that you were so open and willing and just open to the process and that's made it easy. And I think that's made it for both of you guys. But I was also a little concerned of, okay, we've got like two people who are needing my time. Are they going to start fighting over my time? Sean quickly stepped in and monopolized.
I did take that over.
But
at the same time, though, it gives me like, okay, like Sean can go home. He can have family dinner and not be stressed out about it. So it's a win-win.
It is. And that's kind of how I would gauge it early on as I would, you know, do a pulse check with Joni and just kind of like, hey, I feel like I haven't really been, you know, supporting you as much as I have Sean. You know, how's that going? And you would always give me that feedback as, hey, if you're taking stuff off his plate and he's happy when he comes home at night, that's the best thing I can do for you. And I'm like, okay, so we're good. So that wasn't a concern.
Delegated a lot of stuff to you prior.
Yeah, I would say, yeah. And that going back, I mean, when we first interviewed you, and that was a big thing for us, is like being able to trust somebody with our personal stuff, you know, and you say intuition, like we just knew that. I mean, you know, having a couple of conversations with you, we're like, yeah, like I feel like I can trust Holly, and all through the tests and assessments that you did as well, it aligned. We used the predictive index, and she was a perfect fit for what we were looking for.
Yeah, I mean, I think we learned a lot with our first executive assistant, and I know she's a fan of the show, and she watches this. So, I mean, thank you for bearing with us and letting us learn with you. But I think there's definitely, if it's your first, there's definitely a learning process on both sides, I guess. For us, definitely, we had to learn to let things go. I think you need a person, too, that, listens and attentive to like your needs and what needs it, but at the same time they're willing to almost pull something away and a little assertiveness,
right?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, because then they would not do anything because Sean's like this, like holding it together when Holly's pulling it out of his hands.
What do you like about the about being an executive assistant? What do you dislike? Is there any like what were the pros and cons?
So I think, you know, the biggest thing for me that I love, then I take away from this type of work is you really are kind of a behind the scenes person. So the wins come when you guys have wins. And so that just, it's, you know, I call it like my proud mama bear type energy is like, because when you guys have a win, you know, you have a book out or you win an award or you're whatever that looks like, even if it's just, you know, closing a deal, it's like those are wins that even if I'm not directly involved with them, I know that the work that's going on behind the scenes is indirectly contributing. And so you kind of have that proud mama bear moment. And it's like, you guys have kids and they're in sports, right? And so one of my best memories with my son, my oldest son in soccer, played competitive soccer and traveled soccer team. And we did these tournaments and they got to this final championship game. And it was, you know, it was just a nail biter the whole entire game. It ended up tied. But if you know anything about soccer and championships, you can't end in a tie. And so it went to penalty kicks and my son was the goalkeeper. And so I'm just like, we're all on the sidelines, like just losing it. And then if you know soccer, most PKs are either made or they're missed by the kicker. Goalkeepers just don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, typically they don't. Came down to the very last kick. Kid came up to the line. My son's in the goal. Referee blows the whistle and kick goes off and my son blocked it and they won the game. And like his whole bench just came to him and like lifted him up and they're cheering. And I'm just like, I'm on the sidelines. Like, that's my kid. Right. And granted, I didn't go to those practices. I wasn't in that game. I didn't directly contribute to that win, but you feel that energy of those victories. Yeah. And like, that's what I love about this job is when you guys have those victories, I feel that a little bit. And I'm like, I feel like I'm doing a good job there. Yeah. And then, but the flip side of that, the negative side is when there's losses or negative things, it's like, I feel that too. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, if we have an upset client or anything like that, or a deal misses a deadline, I feel that I take that just as passionately. So those, it can be a little.
It's a great analogy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And I hope you feel that appreciation, because I think that's something that we've said this, Joni and I, a lot. We I guess you could say take it for granted, but it's just like don't even sometimes it doesn't even cross our brains, but you are really appreciated. Mm-hmm. So just while we're on that note, like no, so on those wins, you're just as much a contributor. You. Yeah. Yeah. You're just as much a contributor for that than you know, and a part of that you really are, because mm-hmm. I think for sure. Everything that yeah you it, without you it probably didn't
come oh yes
or it would have taken a lot longer, but mm-hmm. yeah so yeah. We always appreciate everything that you do, so
thank you.
So I'm telling you that because we probably don't tell you enough.
That's all good.
What do you think makes a successful executive assistant?
I think the two biggest things that come to mind for me are passion and productivity. You have to be passionate about who you're working for and even the business that you're getting behind. If you don't believe in the product or you don't believe in the service or you don't believe in the people that mm-hmm. you're representing, you're not going to be passionate about it, and that's going to show in your work. Mm-hmm. And then the proactive piece is kind of like what you were saying earlier, is you have to pull stuff out of you guys sometimes. So I have to be able to take a step back and see what's coming down the road and try to anticipate as much as possible, and then mm-hmm. And then just be, you know, act on those. The other piece to that would be, like you said, not being afraid to stand up and, like, I can come to you and be like, hey, you know, we talked about that mop video earlier, mm-hmm. and it was all in jest and fun, and but there's a little bit of seriousness to it. I have to not mm-hmm. be afraid to come to you and say, hey, what are you doing? Yeah. You know, this is not the direction, you know, or this is not conducive to a successful outcome here. Let's figure this yeah. out. And so, and you're really open to that. And so I think being able to do that, it's not the, you know, back in the 50s and 60s when there were secretaries and they were meant to be seen and not heard and just yeah. sit in the corner and take correct. Notes. They're much more, and we're much more involved as EAs.
Right.
And you'd have to have that skill set to stand up to CEOs and VPs and whoever you're working with and, yeah. and guide them. But also, because, you know, you guys hire us for the purpose of, we're a balance to you guys. You, mm-hmm. We're going to have different skills that you don't have. And so being able to trust that we see things that correct. Might not be so as obvious to you from the get-go.
Awesome. Yeah. yeah. I mean, there's definitely a level of trust that gets built over time. But so I hope like listeners that are either looking at this or people that already from a boss's standpoint, I think there needs to be some humbleness to you know, allow that to happen.
Absolutely.
You know, I think, I think it's going to depend on the personalities mm-hmm. and all that. But yeah, I think they need to open some people, not all, but yeah, and open up the idea like, hey, you hired this person for a reason. Like, let them, right. you know, or be open to let them. Or if they challenge right. you a little bit, don't take it as like, right. yeah.
And it's got, ego. Obviously, it's got to be respectful too.
Correct.
You know, there's definitely people, I've seen people in this role who have maybe taken it a little too far. When I worked at Columbia Sportswear, and we worked with some people, and it was interesting to see the level of, what's the word that I would use? Like, they were just very bold
yeah.
in some of this stuff, and then it came across disrespectful. And so I think,
yeah,
maintaining the respect.
Right.
But again, like, you build that trust, you build that boundaries, mm-hmm. then you know it's not coming from a negative space, because I want to see you guys succeed.
Right.
Is there any advice you can give entrepreneurs, because this is an entrepreneur podcast, so that are looking to, or executives or VPs or anything, but it all applies, but that are looking to hire an executive assistant, what should they look for in a successful one? Because I would deem you as yeah. a successful
well,
one.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, if you're an entrepreneur or somebody looking to get in the space and you've never had an assistant before, I mean, step one is just kind of identifying the tasks that you know that you would give that person first. So take a step back and look at your day, like what you were saying, mm-hmm. how you did a timestamp uh-huh. of everything that you did. And what things on that list could you easily give away without too much, like, stress in your life? You could just hand right. that over. And then that's going to help you build your, like, the kind of person you're looking for. Because mm-hmm. Some people, every genre is different, every business is different. Whether you're selling something, whether you're a service provider, it's going to depend on what you provide, depending on the skill set that you need. And so once you do that, then you can start interviewing. And one thing that I see in this space, and this is true for most jobs, but EAs are a little unique in the fact that you don't need to hire somebody who has your industry-specific experience. Mm-hmm. You need to hire somebody that has that passion, has that proactivity, can organize. Because historically, I think EAs have a natural ability to be quick learners, and so they're going to pick that stuff up. Mm-hmm. And so
I agree 1,000% on that. And I think, you know, fitting our culture, too, fitting ourselves, you know, because, yeah, I mean, it, It doesn't matter what industry you came from.
Right. And it's the skill set that matters most. And then talking about the, you know, the personality fit is like, you know, you really want to go with your intuition, because with an EA or an assistant, as an entrepreneur, you're going to be working with that person probably more than anybody else in your business. Mm-hmm. And so the analogy I've used before is, if you're going to hire an IT guy, you want a very specific set of skills, not like Liam Neeson, but a very specific set of skills. And they might have a little quirky personality. Yeah. They might be data driven, and maybe they're not as personable, because that's not needed for their job. So you don't need a quote unquote personality fit with that role. But in the EA space, you really want to make sure you have that personality fit, not a match, because you don't want somebody that mirrors mm-hmm. you, but having that fit that can balance you well, I think is very imperative.
And you're in a very challenging situation, because you're having to deal with two different, very different personalities.
Yeah. So having to deal with that.
It's really, honestly, you know, you guys got to give yourself a little credit. It's really easy to work with you guys in that regard, because for one, I think because you are married and because of the story that you have, I think you guys work very well together, mm-hmm. and that makes it easier on me in that regard. Mm-hmm. The third piece, I think, of advice for entrepreneurs is when you have your assistant, the book by Michael Hyatt, the world-class assistant, mm-hmm. He talks in there about some like mistakes around your, you know, like mistakes you could make with your EA. And mm-hmm. one of the ones that stood out to me, and you'll appreciate this because we've talked about it, is making sure, you know, you are including your executive assistant. They understand the whys. And we've talked, see, like he just rolled his eyes because he knows.
Why?
He knows.
First wing is a why? Why?
And there's a lot of times you want a question at the beginning. Don't ask me, like, just freaking do it. Don't ask why.
And there's times and places for that, for sure. And most positions are, you just need to do what you need to do because that's the job. But the thing that's unique about executive assistants is, because of that proactive piece that we carry, we're always thinking, you know, 2, 3, 5 steps ahead. And so when we have we can work on a project today. Like, we'll work on the fly. You drop something in our lap, like, we're going to get it done because that's what we do. But to do it to the best of our ability and to really capitalize on the skills that we do have and make us shine is the more that you include us. Like, what projects are you working on? What are the goals of the company? What is your 3-5-year plan? That's just going to help paint the picture for us so that we can just work even better in the projects and the spaces and provide you that. So
I never thought about that, really, that detail. But
yeah.
I didn't even know that was in the book.
You're going to appreciate that, because
well, that's
you
Holly.
Should appreciate
that's Holly
that.
Bundled up. Like, why she wants to know everything about why.
Well, I mean, it was funny because, like, I think a couple of months after I started, Sean came to my office and was like, you know, kind of talked to me about, you know, not working on this thing as much as I should have or something. And and I said, Sean, do you remember in my interview, you asked me what my, quote, weakness was? Do you remember what
I
said?
Yeah, that you want to know why something has to be, why it needs to be done that way, or why it's done that way.
And I wanted to know the why. And I listed that as a, quote, potential, you know, negative thing, if you will, in an interview, because it can paralyze me. And in the EA space, again, we get so proactive. If I don't understand the why, it's harder to get behind it and move forward. Not that I can or won't, and I will, and I have, but to, again, best utilize your EA.
It does, yeah.
Having
yeah,
that
it,
why really just, and you know, and it helps to know
right.
where you guys
yeah,
are.
You're honest
stuff.
Enough, because it does, I would say, maybe it slows you down a little bit, and it's maybe just a energy level that, yeah, if you can get, if you understand.
Like, I don't understand
why they're doing that.
Yeah.
And you said a lot of things already about that overlap, but as somebody that wants to get into that profession or make a career change, mm-hmm. and they want to become an EA, what advice would you give them as they, what should they, either if they get hired, like what, or let's, if they're interviewing, what should they present? And then once they're hired, what task or what do you think they should be looking to accomplish?
So I think, you know, there's, two parts. For somebody who's not worked in the space, and, you know, there's kind of two genres. There's the corporate world, like, you know, big companies that have multiple VPs and big CEOs and CFOs, and they all have their own individual EAs. If that's the space you want to get into, a lot of big corporations, they'll hire within. So if you can get your foot in the door in an entry-level admin position or mm-hmm. anything like that, just get your foot in the door at those corporations and then put that passion and proactivity into play. They're going to see it, and you're going to take on more projects, and they're going to see it. So then when a position opens up, you're already in the door, and you make it easier for them to select you for those positions. Mm-hmm. If you're looking more at the small business entrepreneur space, everybody knows somebody who's an entrepreneur. Real estate agents, I consider in that space, because mm-hmm. they work independently. You know, start figuring out what your skill set is. Are you better at numbers? Are you better at budgeting? Are you better at calendar management or social media or marketing, creativity, mm-hmm. you know, find out like where you shine and then find projects with entrepreneurs that are in that space and start building your resume that way. Once you're in the door somewhere, I mean, the biggest thing is understanding your company, understanding who you're working right. for, not just the company you're working for, but you specifically, right. who am I working for? And then how do they best shine? Like, as much as most EAs are really, really in email, I'm not in Sean's email. I mean, I'm in it, but he is so quick on his email. So yeah. I can help him out a lot better in other ways because that's just something that, not that it's a control piece for him, it's just he's always right there on it. And mm-hmm. so keeping me on my toes on, yeah. on that one. but then once you're in the door, I mean, there's always room for more. There's always stuff that even you guys haven't thought of that you've needed. I know we had a project recently, and right. it probably wasn't even on your radar, but when you're working with somebody and you see an opportunity, you know, bring it up. It might not be in your lane, mm-hmm. but at least, you know, it'll be assigned to you or it'll be at least brought up and they can think about it, and then you're helping push that initiative or that something forward and it's making an improvement. Yeah. And that's kind of the basis of, I think, what all EAs do is we are process improvers. We help you guys shine as best as we can.
Mm-hmm. How do you manage when you're on a project or you have your weekly stuff that you do? And then like us driven crazy people, just like, just throw more like,
hey,
do this. And Joni does it all the time. She just yeah. boom, she just drops this like, hey, I got a book. So like, we need this. And boom, boom, boom. And like, Joni, she had a whole list of things to do.
Well, she's my AA too.
That's
right.
You can't hog me all the time, Sean. You know, you got to share.
Or hey, we need a process in the management yeah. company. It needs to totally be renovated. Just redone.
Help me here.
Yeah. You know, communication is the big piece, you know, is always understanding the priorities. And so whenever I have a question, I think I'm pretty good about like, hey, when there's enough things on my plate and I'm like, okay, I really am unclear on maybe what's the priority, I will say, hey, what trumps what sometimes? And I'll ask you, like, is this a today thing or is this a this week thing? Like, that's kind of how I ask Sean.
And that's key, too, especially for Sean, because, like, he'll throw stuff at you, too, and you finally had to get to that point where, okay, like, does he need it right now? Mm-hmm. Tomorrow.
Yeah. And you learn. I mean, and this, you know, you can, again, you can't be afraid to ask questions. You can't, if you start a new position or you're working with somebody, if you just sit like a wallflower, you're not going to be successful. Mm-hmm. Your employer's yeah. going to be frustrated with you. But it's a give and take. It's both and. You have to communicate equally with your EA. And if you're not, you know, your EA may have come in and had one expectation of the job, and maybe it's shifted since then. But as long as you guys are open and communicating about it, I mean, both parties will be successful.
That's a good point. Yes. Yeah, I need to clarify that on the upfront part. I think that would help too. Well, so she doesn't have to ask if it's a today or because mm-hmm. most of the stuff I send, it's like. It's a now thing. Like,
well,
like,
that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I did it this morning.
Everything Sean sends you is a priority.
I sent it this morning, and I was like,
Are you checking your email?
Or like, what's going on?
Like, yes, I've been on my email. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I wanted it done. Like,
and Joni and does not great. Like when Holly's out of town because then Sean's like, I need you, Joni, on this. So I'm like,
yes. Yes.
Me and my yes. 10 things, 10 right. other million things to do.
You are very noticed when you're gone. Yes. So, yeah. It's,
I know. It's
the days are longer.
Like, sneak out of here sometimes.
Yeah. Joni and I are sleeping in different rooms. Yeah. No, I mean, it definitely helps because then I do, hey, I tend to give you that, like, the stuff I just can't stand. Yeah. Like, I'm all about being politely pushy, but then I don't want to be the one being politely pushy. So then I give it to everybody else to be politely pushy.
Thanks, Sean. Yeah. Thanks.
Yes. Yeah.
So anyways, but no, any last comments? Do you have anything?
No, I think it's great that you guys included me in this. It was fun. And I think, you know, if anybody has questions, I'd be curious to see if they had follow-up questions.
Yeah.
I think
so yeah.
If space for that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you for being on with us. Thank you for, I know this maybe not the most comfortable thing or you don't want to be all over social media and everywhere else,
awesome.
YouTube. You did awesome. But yeah, I mean, we value you and appreciate all you do for us. Mm-hmm. So thank Absolutely. You very much.
And for those of you that are maybe exploring the option of hiring an executive assistant or, you know, looking to be an executive assistant, please reach out to us. We'd love to kind of guide you through that process or just have questions. But anyway, give us some feedback. Leave us a review and we will see you next time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there. talking.
Cog, cog, cogging.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.